This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, coming out once again with another message from God's Word. And we're bringing you a series of studies on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we're coming on down there now. We're looking at those studies in the seven churches. Looking at those studies there in the seven churches. But let me tell you, let me go back just a moment before we proceed and tell you just a little bit about the Old Trailblazer broadcast. We've gone on some new stations now, and maybe you're not familiar with the Old Trailblazer, but we're just an old-fashioned, old-time gospel preacher bringing God's message day in and day out here in New Orleans, Louisiana, and the Lord is blessing the broadcast. We own about 40 radio stations across the nation, and it's just a little simple 15-minute broadcast the Lord has laid on our hearts. Pastor L.R. Shelton, the founder of this ministry, the pastor here for many, many years, originated this broadcast describing himself as an old circuit rider back there in the olden days of horse and buggy. So we picked up that theme, and we come in here again, riding out on old Dan, as it were, the old mythical Dan, and spreading the gospel. Anywhere we can get somebody to listen. The circuit riders would go out there and ride around. They'd find a few men cutting logs somewhere in the woods. They'd stop and preach the gospel. They'd find some old fishermen down there on the river. They'd stop and preach the gospel. Or they'd come up on a little country church somewhere, and the folks would invite them, "Come on in, Parson. Bring us a message." So that's what we do. And we thank you for inviting us into your home, your car, wherever you are. Bringing God's message. We don't try to flower up the gospel. We don't add or take away from God's word. And we just use the old King James version of the Bible. It's just like it is. We speak, "Thus saith the Lord." And, we're not popular. We're not, famous or anything like that. We're just an old country preacher. And the Lord is blessing us. And we don't aspire to have great things, big silver cathedrals and condos in the mountains and all that. We take every nickel, every penny that the Lord sends here and put it into radio broadcast, publishing good sound literature, and getting out the gospel. We publish a magazine here every month, the Voice of Truth magazine. We'd be glad to send you a copy of it. If you'd like, let us know, call us or write us. And then we publish these messages on CDs and on cassettes. We send them all over the world, and we're on the internet now to broadcast. If you'd go there and look us up, and I'll give you that information in our next study, how you can hear us over our website, which is radiomissions.org, and you can pull us up there and look at, hear these messages in on sermonaudio.com. So if you just give me time, I'll bring that information in here with me in the next broadcast. But we're looking at the church now, of Thyatira. Yes, the church of Thyatira is a letter that this angel, he's dictating the letter to the angel at Thyatira. And we come down now to where he says, John writes, "Who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass." This suggests his intimate knowledge and penetrating vision concerning the church, as he understands all the conditions of the church, his coming in judgment. He sees that the condition of this church requires judgment. There's no way to remedy the evil in the church by correction, but it must be destroyed root and branch. So nothing but judgment remains. Therefore, he comes forth as the Son of God, his eyes as a flame of fire, his feet as burnished brass. Judgment must begin at the house of God. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Oh, and listen, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? That's 1 Peter 4:17. Let me ask you folks, are you obedient unto God's word? I've been bringing some messages on obedience, and I brought a message last Sunday night on disobeying the gospel. They said they all did not obey the gospel. So if they did not obey, they disobeyed. In his judgment upon this church, he did not overlook the things that he could commend. He said, I know thy works, I know thy love, I know thy ministry, I know thy faith, I know thy patience. First, he knows the work of the church. Second, he would say, I know the forces that lie behind thy works, that is, the love and faith, patience. He does not name the works, but he recognizes that which lies behind them, their love and fidelity, their ministry and their patience. He says, I know thy love. This is a statement of the character of the church. This is a taproot out of which all other things appear. But listen, then he says, I know thy faith. They were steadfast. They were not fickle. They were not spasmodic in their work, but they were constant. In other words, the work of the church was not, we might say, of the official type, but it was that which grew out of a heart of love and faith towards Christ, which produced a steadfastness and a patient long-suffering. In many ways, it was a noble church, and Christ commended them for it. And as his eye discerns every attitude of the heart towards him, found there in Hebrews 4:12, we thank the Lord that he does. And in the midst of imperfection and much of that he did not approve, he saw their love and faith and patience and commended them for it. Now we turn to the complaint that Christ filed against the church there at Thyatira. I wish you'd listen. Notwithstanding, in other words, nevertheless, put aside all those things. Nevertheless, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. But I have against thee that thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel. Thou sufferest. This was all the complaint that Christ had against that church, but that was enough. Christ's complaint against the church was the pastor suffered or permitted his wife. Suffered means to permit. His wife to teach and to seduce the Lord's servants to commit fornication and to eat things offered to idols. This woman was permitted by the church to teach the most terrible doctrine, which produced disastrous results. And he was holding the church responsible. The word Jezebel carries us back to 1 Kings chapter 16, where we find the story of Jezebel, the wife of Ahab in Elijah's time, who seduced God's prophets and through them God's people, thereby corrupting spiritual worship through a mixture with pagan idolatry. Whether this preacher's wife was named Jezebel or not, Christ used the name Jezebel to drive home to the members of that church his condemnation of this woman who calleth herself a prophetess. This preacher's wife rose up in the church, and unconverted women coming from pagan idolatry and began to teach some new hidden philosophy of life. Christ called it the deep things of Satan. In other words, she claimed that she had a new revelation by inspiration of Satan, by inspiration as a result of some vision or dream, and began to call groups together for instruction. Her influence grew until she began to dominate that church. Whatever it was that she taught, it lowered the standards of separation between the church and the world, and she led or seduced, Christ said, my servants to commit fornication. Now, my friend, we here at the Old Trailblazer broadcast, I as a pastor of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, openly take a stand against women preachers. And here's one of the reasons right here. The Lord forbids it, first of all. The scripture says he suffereth not a woman to teach, nor seduce, nor to usurp authority. And I know that I step on a lot of toes, because we have a predominance now of women preachers all over this city of New Orleans, probably all over the city, all over the world. But I have to refute error. I cannot idly sit by, stand by, and see those things. And I have those women come here to the bookstore, and when you write a ticket for a book they buy, they want you to put minister so-and-so, elder so-and-so, and we don't do it. We just put their name down, whatever it is. We don't congratulate them on being a minister. But, and I had a lively discussion with one of them one day. It's kindly, we spoke kindly. I asked her for her credentials, what gave her the authority to preach. And of course they run there to Deborah and other places. And, I was telling her that first of all, you need to be the husband of one wife. She wouldn't have that. The Lord says, Paul speaking, said you have to be the husband of one wife. And so I was having a lively discussion with her, and we were very kind to each other, both of us were. Even though that gets me hot on the collar when folks try to force that stuff down my throat. And so this old gentleman came in. I knew he was a preacher. I'd met him before. And he came in, and he came close to where we were standing. And I just said, my friend, tell this woman that the Lord never called a woman to preach. And he looked at me with his eyes big, and he said, good God Almighty, Pastor, if we didn't have these godly women preaching, holding meetings in our pulpits, we wouldn't have nothing. So I just walked off. I took my head and walked off. I said, poor ignoramus that don't know the difference. And don't understand God's word and won't have it when he does understand it. Nowhere, you can't tell me that any woman has authority to preach. I don't care if she's got a $10 million airplane. I don't care none of those things. It's until she can be the husband of one wife. And I'm not talking about a homosexual marriage. No, sir. The Bible just makes it plain that a woman has no authority to preach, nor to usurp authority. It says to keep silent. Now, my friend, maybe I'm an old fogey-eyed fool, but that's what I am, because I know God's word. I know it. And everywhere I've seen women take over the pulpits, I've seen untruth. I've seen corruption spring up there. I've seen the anarchy spring up there, and they usurp them. Man, let me tell you something, folks. In our country today, the United States of America, our men are taking a back seat. In our churches, in our businesses, in our homes, and they're turning everything over to the women. Do you know that's Satan's trick? That's a perversion of Satan, my friend, and that's what he's doing. He's adding his applause to it when a woman takes over, and then a lot of our men are standing by and letting it happen. But I tell you one thing, Jezebel. No Jezebel ever is going to stand at the First Baptist Church of Algiers as long as I live. No, sir. No, sir. Now, the woman has a place in the church. I know that. And godly women serve a purpose in God's work, but not to teach and usurp authority. No, sir, not to make decisions for the church. I'm dealing with a man now that's having a lot of trouble with an old hook and bull bell cow in his church. He wants to take over. And I told him, I said, his young preacher, I told him, I said, you stand up in your pulpit, call her name, and say, ma'am, I'm the pastor of this church. You're nothing. You're nothing but a member of this church. You have no authority. Now I asked you to sit down and shut up. And I told him to do that. He said, you think I can do that? I said, if you don't, she's going to wreck your church. She's going to wreck everything you have. I call him old bell cow, because back there in the woods when I was a kid, we had cattle in the woods, and the way we wanted to find them, we put a bell on one of them, and everywhere they went, they'd tinkle, 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 ringle, 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 and you could hear them. Well, that's the way these old bell cow women are. And you can hear them all the time. They want the place of authority. They want to dominate. And my friend, by God's grace, it won't happen here. And I hope you, Pastor, young pastor, maybe you're hearing me, put a back broomstick up your backbone and take a stand against women. You don't have to be ugly about it. Just call on God's word. You have no voice of authority in this church as long as I'm here. And the Lord bless you for it. Remember the old trailblazer. Would you pray for me? Day by day, it takes grace to be true, my friend. You hear anybody else being true to your soul? You hear anybody else taking a stand against women preachers, against ungodly, against homosexuality, against lesbianism? You hear anybody? Not many. But would you pray for me? Lord, give me grace day by day. If you would, write me. My mailing address is the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye, and God bless you.